Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen. It is Saturday, January 28th, and we are almost into February this year. 2012 is already flying by. My co-host, Mike Reynolds, as some of you may know, is a realtor, and he has an open house today, so he may or may not be calling in, but we will, you know, keep our fingers crossed on that. Let me welcome to the chat room Cheryl B., guest Joe from Germany. Welcome, everyone. Our guest, Edmund, is in the chat room as well, so welcome, everyone. If you would like to join us in the chat room, please go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and click on Edmund's name, and that should bring you right into the chat room. The phone number is 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. Trumpeter Ed Sobchak, a.k.a. Edolutionary's new CD, the soundtrack connects jazz, symphonic, and rock music with a bit of a soundtrack flavor. And he joins us from the U.K. Edmund, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi, Terry.
How
Thanks
are you?
For inviting me.
Oh,
I'm very
you're
good.
Welcome.
Thank you. How are you doing?
You're welcome. Very, very. Now, tell me the complete title of the CD.
The title, I had a real problem with the title, to be honest, but at the end, I thought the music is really between everything else. I mean, between jazz, soundtrack music, and it was really hard, to be honest. I couldn't choose anything. I had so many ideas at the beginning, but at the end, I wanted to keep it simple, and that's why I think, you know, this music is really, I mean, kind of the soundtrack. Maybe the soundtrack, you know, people can say my life or whoever life, but more or less it's what I wanted, and all this kind of epic sounds in the music remind me of soundtrack music, and I love soundtrack music anyway, apart from jazz, so that's another genre I love.
Okay. Now, I did listen to some of the songs, and I was wondering if you were shopping this CD around for a movie to be, you know,
that's
or maybe
plan,
someone,
to be
yeah.
To be honest, I've just finished recording, just released this album, so my next step really is finding the right people.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, hopefully that will happen for you. Good luck with that, because I, you know, as I said, I listened to some of the music, and it does have a soundtrack flavor to it. As the description says, so I think that, you know, you should really consider shopping it around for a movie soundtrack. I think it'd be good for that. Nice.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, getting the right connections, knowing
exactly.
The right people at some point and meeting them at some point in their life, I think.
Right.
But it's a brilliant idea. I would love to write for, you know, big film at some point. It would be really nice.
Okay. Now, I know that there is a website, there's probably several websites where artists can go and submit their music for movie
mm-hmm.
soundtracks, and I can't tell you one off the top of my head right now,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I'm sure if you just Google movie soundtrack submission or something like that, you'll find something, yeah. Okay. Now, this is your second CD. You have your first CD, your debut CD was called One Step Ahead. Was that more of a jazz CD?
A bit more. I would say a bit more of a jazz. It wasn't as epic as this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was recorded in a completely different way, to be honest. What I did, I was writing all the music first and then recording the music. So all was composed before I started recording. So all was written in score and then I started recording. But in the soundtrack, what I did, I basically started recording it and having ideas when I was actually playing music instead of writing on paper, you know.
Okay. Now, I was reading your bio, and I would love for you to share the story of how you came to play the trumpet.
Well, I came back a bit, a few years back. I was 10, and my dad is a drummer, and he... it was very, very unexpected, to be honest, because what he said was, in the middle of the school year, he said, if I would like to play an instrument, and I was like, well, a bit surprised, to be honest, but I said, yeah, of course, I mean, very interesting idea, why not, and went to the music school. I was back in Poland, and the music school, the head of the music school, he wasn't sure which instrument I would like to play, and I didn't know, I had no idea, and trumpet teacher came at that point, and he was like, okay, I can just do a little audition for you and see if you can, you know, play the trumpet maybe. And that's how it started, and I came back with the trumpet, came back home with the trumpet and started trying to play it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easy, but very exciting.
Okay.
And that's how it started. I didn't plan it for years or anything like that, so that wasn't my idea, to be honest. My dad just came up with that, and he was a drummer, so I had music around me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think of playing an instrument myself up to that point.
Okay, so the first teacher that you were going to meet, because your bio mentions double bass, so I was thinking the first
exactly,
teacher.
Yeah, That's true. The first one, I think I had a little appointment with that teacher, but that teacher was late, and then suddenly the trumpet teacher came up, and I went, why not? Try the trumpet. So, yeah, exactly, this new story, yeah, you reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, do you believe in coincidences? Do you think that things happen for a reason? I mean, this bass teacher was late, and the trumpet teacher could meet with you, and you ended up playing the trumpet.
I'm very much into that. Yeah, I think there's always a reason behind everything.
Right.
So whatever happens in your life, there's a reason behind it.
Right.
Even if you at this point you think it's bad, you don't like it, you suffer at this point. But I think there's a reason in some future, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, if your education on the trumpet took a long time, I was reading like the first degree school, the second degree school. Tell us about the schools.
That's how we have it in Poland. It works that way. You have to. It's very, very strict and very formal. You have to do first degree school of music to some point. I think it's 4 years, or depends when you start. If you start when you're younger than 10 years old, you have to do 6 years, and then you go to second degree music. It's like kind of high school for music, and that's another 6 years. And after that, you can go to university to study music. So it's a lot, yeah. And you have to do all that after your normal school. So, for example, I had my lessons for probably four or five hours three times a week after my primary school and my high school. So it wasn't easy, but very, very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I had some teachers in my primary school or high school saying, like, okay, you have to choose one or the other. And the point is, you can't choose, really. If you love music, you have to go, you want to go to music school, but you have to go to the other school. So, they were saying it wasn't impossible to choose. But, of course, everyone needs to be educated in many ways, not only music. So, it's good I couldn't choose, really.
Right. Okay. So, on top of going to the music school, you also had to deal with your regular studies, your regular school studies as well. Wow, that's a lot. That is a lot. Wow, quite a bit. All right. I want to get into some of the music before I ask my next question. And I'm going to start with track number 2, Glory. Tell me about this one.
It's very, very energetic, I would say, you know. I really like this one. I think it's quite jazzy, like a lot of jazzy trumpet in it. But it's, I don't know, I would say it's quite epic at the same time.
Okay.
Why the title? Not easy to really remember it. Why did I say glory at that point? But it's quite big at the beginning. That's why I think it's glory now.
Oh, okay.
I'm not
all
great
right.
with choosing titles, to be honest, but you know that's,
okay.
that was my idea.
Okay. All right. This is Glory from the soundtrack CD. I like that a lot. Now, did you work with the symphony orchestra on the CD?
No. Sounds like it, but it's not really.
Very much
what
so.
What I did was I used MIDI technology, you know. So what it exactly is, when I said I recorded this album at the same time as I was composing it, so that means I was playing on the piano connected to, I don't know if you know recording programs like Logic Pro.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of them. Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting because you can change the sounds of the piano if you use MIDI technology, and it sounds like a symphony, like an orchestra, basically.
Okay.
So that's what I did. I didn't have to hire the whole orchestra. It would be really interesting to do that one day, but it's on the other hand, when you compose, not very easy to say to 50 people, you know, guys, just wait another 5 minutes because I have another idea. So it's easier to do it that way. And you know what I mean.
Okay. Very nice.
It's just much easier. But at one point, I would love to record with an orchestra.
Okay.
Now, to be more organized, because what I did when I was recording this one, I basically was using my electric piano and you know, in my own time, whenever I wanted, I probably spent many nights till 6 o'clock in the morning just recording and composing. And I like the quiet space when I compose. So I really love when no one is disturbing, no phone calls, nothing else. Mm-hmm. Just me and the piano. So.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. Now, Joe from Germany posted in the chat room, very nice, and the trumpet sounds a bit like Chris Botti. And it's funny you say that, Joe, because Chris Botti is his number one influence. It's a big influence on him. So it's funny that he would say that.
Very interesting, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, who are your other influences?
I think the second one I would say I love Latin music. So Michel Camilo, the piano player, he's great. His music is amazing. Plus, he works with good trumpeters. So it's always a pleasure to listen to him. Miles Davis is another one, but I'll be very honest, and maybe some people won't like it very much, but I really hate some of Miles Davis' albums. Some of them are amazing. I just love them. The other ones are just not for me. But he's a legend, so big respect.
Now, I read that you had started a band. And what was the name of your band?
Of the band, I mean, you know, as an artist, I'm a delusionary, and the band is behind me, to be honest.
Okay. I asked because I wanted to ask you about a specific question that one of the band members said to you. About your bio read that, you know, you started this band, and after a couple of rehearsals, one of your band members asked you, why don't you compose your own music?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I wanted if you would kind of share that story with us.
I didn't like this question at that point, but, it, you know, I was like, good question, but it seemed like something probably for many musicians, it seems like, you know, you shouldn't touch this area because it's for the, I don't know, gifted ones, and you are probably not the one which is gifted. But, you know, once you actually start doing it, you start enjoying it, and something good comes out. You feel like, actually, maybe I'm the gifted one too, why not? And if people like it, you know, if you get good feedback, you start doing more of it, and it becomes better and better. So, yeah, but that was an interesting question. At that point, we're not really playing original music, so it was probably 4 years ago now, and that was one guitar player from my band, but a previous guitar player, not the one I have now. And that's how it started, my composition. And I feel like I'm actually fully qualified to compose. I'm fully qualified to play. Why wouldn't I play my music? I loved Chris Botti at that point, and I still love his music, and especially Night Sessions album 2001. That was a very, very good album, and I was really impressed with that. So we, most of the time, if we played together, just, you know, for ourselves, we would play some of the Night Sessions music.
I thought it was really interesting that the guitar player would say to you that I'm not going to play someone else's music when you are fully educated to write your own.
That was a very good question. You know, kind of changed my life.
Yeah, kind of pushed you out there, you know.
It did. I need to thank him for that. Didn't like it at that moment because I was like, well, why are you complaining, you know, just play.
Yeah.
But then I felt like, maybe he's right.
That's right. All right. Okay, so the next song I'm going to play is A Beautiful Nightmare. Tell me about this one.
You mean musically or the title?
Musically.
musically.
Mm-hmm.
I would say very mysterious, and at the end, it's the guitar solo in the middle is very, very calm, very relaxing, and the end, it's like kind of in three parts, and the end of the music is, I think that's the beautiful part of it, not the nightmare part.
Oh, okay. Mm. All right, we're talking to trumpeter Ed Sopcak about his CD, Evolutionary, the soundtrack. And after this song, I'm going to ask you about that Evolutionary title. If you would like to speak with Edmund, this number is 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. This is A Beautiful Nightmare.
Thank you.
right. That was A Beautiful Nightmare. That is from Edmund Sopcak's CD, Evolutionary. And first, let's give a shout out to your band members. Tell us about your band members.
If I have to choose, the first one would be the guitar player. It's Pavel Kotelba. He's just heard his solo on the guitar. And he's also my best friend, so that's why I want to talk about him first. But they're all very, very good musicians. And sometimes they change, to be honest, because what happens is at the beginning when I had an idea about a band and this kind of music, I was thinking about having like democracy in a band, which means like kind of like the Beatles, four people or five people, but everyone is equal, everyone does the same things, and I don't think it works. I changed my mind probably again 3 or 4 years ago, and I realized I have to, there needs to be one person in charge, otherwise nothing is going to happen. And after that, I started being the leader of the band and changing some of the musicians. But Pablo, he's always been in this band, and we've known each other for 6 years, I think. And so he's the main part of the band, apart from me, just after me. And I love his playing. His his musical ideas are amazing too. But in my opinion, it's brilliant.
Okay.
And everything else, apart from the guitar, is not improvised. And he's the other person who improvises in my band, because all the other parts I write, so I want them as they are, and I want them always kind of the same way, because I don't think it's very professional to always play something different, and the music in every concert would sound differently if everyone would improvise too much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in this way, we keep it more or less on the same track, and what I do and Pablo is enough to improvise and change the idea of the music and make it interesting and keep it interesting all the time.
Okay, and you also have a choir?
No, that's another little trick. That's another media technology thing.
Okay. Okay.
But again, all the parts are written, you know, all the parts are written in music, so it's all ready for, depends on the, I would say, depends on the event. If the event is big enough and I can, you know, I can organize a choir and an orchestra, that would be brilliant, but haven't done it so far, so, you know, this is recorded in media technologies, so.
Okay, I see. Okay. And what does evolutionary mean to you?
That means definitely evolution of music and myself at the same time, you know. I think music should evolve all the time, because otherwise we would still be playing like Mozart, you know, doing the same things. So I think someone needs to always create something a bit different, maybe connect the things which already exist, but in maybe a bit different way, so it leads to something else. And it's not boring for the listeners and, you know, for the audience.
Okay.
Otherwise, I think that the audience would, you know, just, I don't know, think more about sport than music, or they would do something else instead of listening to music. It would be always the same.
Okay.
That's the evolution of music, and in a way myself too, because if it's my music, I need to evolve with it. And, you know, probably my next album is going to be completely different, or at least a bit different than the next step I'm going to take in music. So, that's
okay. Are you working on a new CD now?
Always.
Always,
you know, I can't stop it. I was thinking after recording this album, I'm going to stop recording for a while, stop creating something and work on the kind of like more of the business part of my career. Because music is one thing and another part is, you know, letting know people that the music exists and it is around and they can listen to it and enjoy it. But after, I don't know, maybe a month, I felt like I'm missing something. Like there's something in me which is kind of wants to come out, and I'm not doing the thing, you know, I'm not letting it go outside. And
I thought,
okay, this is just not right. I need to start composing again and recording. So I'm always doing that, you know.
Okay. Now, have you been to the States?
Not yet. I'm going to be in this summer, in July. So yeah, that will be my first time.
Oh, good. All right, is that this going to be a pleasure trip? Are you coming to perform?
I'm coming to perform in Washington D.C.
Oh, really?
And I'm also, this is only one big, but one concert, and I need to think of other places I can play around this date and around Washington, or maybe in some other places in the United States, because it's a long trip, so I need to, and also my musicians, I'm taking them with me, and I probably won't be happy to play one concert and come back to the UK.
Okay, now, do you know where in D.C. you'll be playing?
It's not confirmed
to
now, so I don't want to say anything.
Okay, no, that's understandable. And now, my co-host Mike Reynolds lives in the Baltimore, D.C. area, and there are some venues there, you know, and that's why I was wondering if you knew where you were going to be playing. But if you could email me, if you don't want to say on air, that's fine. But if you can email me and let me know where you're going to be playing, and then I can talk to Mike and see what other venues that, you know, we can refer you to look into.
Thank you.
To play in the area.
Thank you,
we're both on Skype, so if you just want to Skype that, if you know where you're going to be, if you just want to Skype that to me, and then I will talk to Mike, and we can, you know, see what other venues are there, and we can refer you to some venues, and you can, you know, maybe contact some people there and see if you can get in there.
I think it's going to happen exactly in Washington, D.C., but it's a big event, an outdoors event, and they are not sure about where exactly in Washington, D.C. It's one of the parks, you know, it's summer time, so it'll be outdoors. Any clubs around, like jazz clubs or anything like that, would be very interesting.
Yeah, I will, I'll
stay in touch about this one, and that would be very helpful. You can suggest something for me, it would be really nice.
I can, you know, we can find out what venues are in the area and, you know, give them your, give you their information and, you know, maybe somebody can contact them and get you booked or something. You never know. Now, the only thing I know of going on in July, and you don't have to say yay or nay to this, is the, in D.C. is the Capital Jazz Festival. I think that's like in the summer, during the summer. Yeah, I think it's in June, actually. I think it's in June. But, I'll talk to Mike and see, you know, what other venues we can refer you
to. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. All right. The next song I'm going to play is called Keep Pushing Forward. Tell me about this one.
Mm-hmm. Another very energetic one. Starts with a big choir, and it's very intense at some point. I think it's like halfway through. It really gets intense and very, very energetic. So that's more or less it.
All right, keep pushing forward. Thank you. All right. That was trumpeter Edmund Sobchak. The name of the CD is Edolutionary, the soundtrack. You can find that on his website, edolutionary.com. Follow him on Twitter at Edolutionary, and the CD is also available on Amazon. Edmund, I want to introduce you to my co-host, Mike Reynolds. Mike, meet Edmund.
Hey, Edmund. How's it going?
Hi, Mike. How are you? I'm good, thanks.
And it's perfect timing, Mike, because Evan was just telling us about an event that he's going to be performing at in July, but he couldn't give us a name because nothing has been confirmed. And I was also telling him that you live in the Baltimore, D.C. area, and then there are some couple of clubs there as well that we can refer him to, you know, give him some information, and they can contact them and maybe get some gigs there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I know.
That would be really nice.
I know of two, Blues Alley and the Birchmere, and those are the two that I can think of off the top of my head right now. So, and they're both on Facebook, I believe. But, you know, we can get you that contact information and maybe you can get somebody, you know, talk to someone and get some a couple
definitely
of gigs there.
I will do
yeah
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
okay.
Very helpful. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Sure, sure. You're welcome. You're welcome. So now I also read, Evan, that you teach music. Are you still teaching?
Yeah, I have quite a few private students, trumpeters, of course, and it's quite interesting, you know, how because when you teach someone, you understand your instrument in a different way. That's why I'm still exploring that, and if someone is very keen and wants to play the trumpet, then I kind of try to do my best and try to see how my technique works and to help this person progress as quickly as they can. So I have really amazing students, you know. The difference between a good student and not as quickly progressing student is really what they want to achieve and how much work they are willing to put, you know. And there's nothing which can stop anyone from playing the trumpet, I think, unless, I don't know, you had a really bad accident, you know, something happened to your lips. Because some of the myths, people say that you can't play the trumpet if you have big lips or you have small lips or whatever else, you know. And I think it's not that way. It's really not what people should be thinking about. As long as you want to do it, you can do it. And
you can do
it's
it.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah
finding the right technique for yourself or finding someone who can help you finding the right technique.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
how long
I'm sorry.
I was just saying, how long have you been teaching?
It's been 7 years now. I started teaching just after I graduated from my university in Poland. I started working for National School of Music in Poland, and just I think 4 months after I came to England, and then started teaching in England. Which is a much more flexible way of educating in music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can skip some grades. I don't know how it works in America, but in England, it's very, very flexible. If you are talented, if you progress quickly enough, you can skip many, many grades, and that saves you time. In Poland, you can't do that. You have to stick to the normal. You actually have to do it. But to be honest, I didn't. That's interesting. Yeah, funny thing. It's not very, it's very formal normally, but what my teacher did, he had a bit of power around the music schools, you know, in my area, and he pushed me 4 years forward. After the first year, he felt like, oh, okay, you're doing so well. Let's keep going much quicker than you would normally have to do. But it doesn't happen very often.
Now, did that surprise you when you started playing the trumpet, how well you were doing? Even though, you know, from the start you weren't really interested in playing an instrument at all. But when you started playing the trumpet and you saw how well you were, did that surprise you?
What helped a lot was my best friend. We were in the same class in my primary school. He played the trumpet, and he still is a trumpet player, and he studied in America at, I think, finished like a year ago, and he's back in Poland now, but he's a great trumpet player too, but he's mostly a classical player. And when we were around 10 years old, 12, 13, we were best friends at that point, and we were both playing the trumpet, so that was another another thing which kept me going, and I wanted to speed my progress up because of him. He started 2 years before me, I think, or a year before me, so I had to catch up, you know. And that was kind of nice ambition for me, and a nice challenge to catch up, and it was very interesting.
Okay.
And it was, in a way, very surprising to me that I actually wanted to do it. After a few months, when it started clicking, when it started making more than noise, I started liking it a lot.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Good. All right. Now, who? Now we have said that your biggest influence is Chris Bode, but your bio also mentions Wynton Marsalis and Branford Marsalis and Dave Codd. Who would you like to play with? I mean, we would love to, you know, see you over here in the States in a jazz concert with someone. Or is there someone in particular other than Chris Bode that you would like to play with?
My big hero always was Arturo Sandoval.
Uh-huh.
He's amazing. I mean, you know what I mean by that. I mean, his range, his tone is huge. I love that. Mm-hmm. And also Latin music is just so interesting, and that's why I think Arturo Sandoval would be the one. Apart from that, Wynton Marsalis, I hope he's technically just amazing. His tone, brilliant. And the fact that he can extremely well play classical music and very, very good jazz player, that's quite interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him in London, I think, not even a year ago. But I was slightly disappointed because he was like part of the jazz band, big band. He wasn't a solo player, really.
Oh.
He talked a lot. It was very interesting what he was saying about the jazz music. And but what I was lacking, I actually wanted to see him live performing, you know, as a frontman. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he's amazing. He's a brilliant star.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully, you know, when you come over in July, I wish I could be in the area to see you, but I'm in Las Vegas. I'm on the other side of the country.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that would be great for you to come over here to the States and play and introduce yourself to, you know, the people. So good luck with that. Hopefully that'll... Now, do you have a booking agent?
Not at the moment, you know.
No, okay.
All right. Can you recommend anyone yourself?
I'd have to, here in the States, well, gosh, Mike, I know of one, but I don't think he's picking up anyone right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess you would have to really kind of search out one and everything.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll stay in touch, you know, I'll stay in touch so if you have an idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, definitely. And we will definitely get that information to you for the clubs in the D.C. Baltimore area. I don't know. Mike, what clubs are in the D.C. area?
Like I said, you got Blues Alley, like you mentioned, Blues Alley and Birchmere. You have some new ones that just opened up. You have one called Melanie Tavern. They just opened up recently. This, as a matter of fact, this weekend is their first show. So they just opened up. A new place called the Hamilton, that's in downtown D.C. So there's a lot of different spots now that are, you know, catering to live entertainment right now in the D.C. area.
Okay. All right. Well, Edmund, we will get that information, the contact information to you, you know, so you can, you know, maybe contact someone and see about getting in there and performing. That would be good for you. Good.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. So now is your first CD available, One Step Ahead? Is that still available?
It is. Okay. It's on my website. Actually, the second one is not available in Amazon. It's on CD Baby and iTunes and directly from my website. You can find it all there.
All right. There you go. So definitely check out Mr. Edmund's music. Follow him again on Twitter at Edolutionary, and his website is edolutionary.com, and check him out on Facebook as well. Send him a friend request. Well, Edmund, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Terry.
And
pleasure.
Much continued success to you, and we look forward to seeing you over here in the States.
Thank you, and I hope to see you one day, you know, in person. That would be brilliant.
Yes, definitely. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks
a lot. You have a great one. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. And you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks. You too. All right, that was trumpeter Edmund Sobchak. His last name is spelled S-O-B as in boy, C-Z as in zebra, A-K. The CD is called Edolutionary, the soundtrack. The website is edolutionary.com. Follow him on Twitter at Edolutionary, and you can find the CD on CD Baby, iTunes, and on his website. All right, Mike, anything interesting going on in your area?
Well, tonight they have a show in Baltimore with Marcus Johnson and Marcus Mitchell out at the Baltimore BWI Sheraton. That's tonight. I know last night's show was sold out, and tonight's show I think it may be sold out as well.
Okay.
And everything. So it's going to be a nice show out there with both Marcuses. So that should be pretty interesting. Then they have saxophonist Jarrett. Jared is playing at the Melanie Tavern, which I spoke of earlier. There, they just opened up a spot down there. Maybe been open like a month, maybe. And they just got their entertainment license to, present live entertainment. So I want to go down there and actually check it out and see how the place, see how the atmosphere is and everything with that place, the Melanie Tavern, and the other place called the Hamilton. Marcus Johnson just played there last week. And I had one of our listeners, Betty Belcher, she went to the event, and she said that the whole place was just an awesome place. It was a brand new place. They just opened up in December, and it's just awesome in there. So I have to get down there as well, check that place out as well.
I saw the pictures of the Hamilton. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful on this side. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. All right, well, tomorrow we are not interviewing anyone. We have a two-hour music show that includes new music from Peter White and Eric Marienthal and Nathaniel Kearney Jr. and more, so you can tune in for that. And we will also be talking to Alvin Kills, who is in the D.C. area, about his upcoming event, Love Affair of the Heart 2, and he will be on in the second hour. So
yes.
Join us tomorrow.
I don't know how many to cut you off, but actually Alvin is from the Hampton Roads area. That concert will be taking place at the Hampton Roads Coliseum down in, Hampton, Virginia.
Okay, so see, I get the it's like D.C., Maryland, Virginia. It's all in that little area there.
Yes, but that's way in the V, okay? That's way down, so it's maybe like, I guess, about a good hour and a half, 2 hours down. The road down 95. But, Alvin is, in fact, he is from the D.C. area, but he now resides in the Hampton Roads area, and he promotes shows down there. And this show is going to be a very nice show with Johnny Gill, Pieces of a Dream with Phil Perry, and the young lady from D.C. named Lori Williams. So that should be a very interesting Valentine's Day show. So.
Okay. All right. So tomorrow's show is going to be the Jazz Queen show. On Talking Smooth Jazz. So it's a two-hour music show, so join us for that. And look forward to that. All right, let me thank those in the chat room. Ms. Cheryl B. Edmund, thank you again so much for giving us the opportunity to speak with you. Again, you can find his music on his website, edolutionary.com, CD Baby, iTunes, and follow him again on Twitter at Edolutionary, and check him out on Facebook. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow for our two-hour Jazz Queen show. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you again tomorrow. I'm going to close the show with another song from Edmund CD. This is called Escape the Heat. Until tomorrow, keep it smooth and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Talking Smooth Jazz. Please visit our website, TalkingSmoothJazz.com and Mastermind-Entertainment.com. Join our Facebook fan and group pages and follow us on Twitter at Jazz_Queen and The Daily Grind. That's THA Daily Grind.